This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Ask most Americans to pick the one issue that will most drive their vote come November, and most will say the economy. The stock market opened today at a two-year low. Oil and gas hit new record highs. Mortgage foreclosures and food prices are up. Unemployment isn't great either. Voters want to know which candidate can turn things around and how. Today, the first in our new series, Issues Monday. Between now and November, we plan to have senior advisors from the two major presidential campaigns discuss their policies on Iraq, energy, health care, immigration, and other issues. We start with the economy. Later in this hour, New Orleans bluesman Dr. John joins us on the opinion page. His new CD is about his hometown, the city that Care forgot. But first, the presidential campaigns on the economy. What matters most to you? Taxes, mortgage, the cost of living, and why? We have split phone lines today. Republicans call 800-344-3893. Again, for Republicans, 800-344-3893. And for Democrats, 800-344-3864. Again, for Democrats, 800-344-3864. The email address for everybody is talk@npr.org. You can also tell us your story on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. With us now is John McCain senior policy advisor Douglas Holtzman Aiken. He's in a studio at member station WETA in Arlington, Virginia. And thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Neil.
And with us here in Studio 3A, Daniel Turullo, senior economic advisor for Senator Barack Obama. And thanks very much for you being with us.
Good to be here, Neil.
And for this first segment, we'll ask you both to stick to your candidates' positions and plans for the economy and not pick apart the other candidates' positions, at least not yet. We'll get to that in a bit. But we want to begin with an email we got earlier this month. We did a program on the economy and how listeners are affected by it. Beth Greenlee emailed from Orange Park, Florida. The economy for my family is terrible. We had a child born prematurely in 2005. Things have gone from bad to worse since. My husband was laid off. We lost our house. My husband was in an accident. We had to relocate our family. My husband had to take a job that makes a lot less money. Basically, our life has been a country western song. Our dog even died during all of this. It has been ridiculously difficult to scrape by with gas prices going up so high and the price of groceries subsequently rising. We just can't get back on our feet without being knocked down again immediately. And Dan Turullo, I'll start with you. What might Senator Obama propose that would make a difference for Beth?
Well, I'm afraid, Neil, that your correspondence, your writer's story conforms to all too many that we hear across this country now. And I think the real issue for the economy in this campaign is whether we're going to make a break with the past policies that President Bush has pursued, which have led to the situation that she describes. Are we going to continue the policies of big tax breaks for the affluent?
Again, that's their position. What's your position?
Well, our position, Senator Obama said last September he wanted a big tax cut for the middle class, weighted towards the middle and lower middle classes. That's where we would provide relief for the immediate squeeze that Beth and many other of your listeners are facing. We also think it's just incumbent upon the country to make sure that every American has access to high-quality health care. And then, Neil, it's very important to start now making the investments in our country and in our people to create the good jobs of the future. Because obviously for anybody, whether it's Beth's husband, whether it's other listeners, none of these problems can be solved unless they can find and keep a good job that provides a good standard of living.
And briefly, you've talked about tax cuts. You've talked about health care. You've talked about creation of jobs. All of that costs money, a lot of money. How are you going to pay for it?
It does cost money. And Senator Obama has, again, been willing from the very beginning to say where he would raise this money. He has talked of rolling back the Bush cuts for the wealthiest of Americans, those making over $250,000 a year, and that will provide revenue. He has talked about, obviously, reducing our expenditures in the war in Iraq. That will raise revenue. He's talked about closing corporate tax loopholes. That will raise revenue. We have put together a program which the Wall Street Journal and the Tax Policy Center and Nonpartisan Group have both affirmed will actually reduce our budget deficit from the levels that it otherwise would achieve.
Doug Holtz Aiken, now we get letters like Beth's every time we talk about the economy. What would Senator McCain propose that would help her out?
Well, these letters are just tragic, and they remind us that the route to a stronger economy runs straight through taking control of our energy future. Senator McCain has proposed a Project Lexington, a declaration of independence from the tyranny of Middle Eastern states that control too much of the world's oil. It begins with sensible relief in the short run, taxes that are lower on gasoline that can help families and truckers, relief from tariffs that stop cheaper alternatives to gasoline coming into the country, greater domestic production of both oil and natural gas, which heats our homes and which is not as internationally available as oil might be. All of these are routes toward a long-term future where he's staked out a dramatic position to have us drive on cars that are powered by batteries that cost 30% of what they do today, have electricity generated by renewables and nuclear power that's clean and allows us to meet our climate change obligations. Those are important steps that we need to take to make this economy secure against world oil movements. But there are other costs that we face. Healthcare is an important one. The senators proposed to take control of the rising cost of healthcare. It threatens the businesses' ability to offer insurance. It threatens our family budgets. It threatens our state and local budgets. He has a $5,000 cash toward insurance policies for every American that they can go out and buy a policy, and that policy would stay with them regardless of their work circumstances. That would allow our workers to have the freedom and our firms to have the freedom, and he likes the preservation of those freedoms, including trade. A big part of our economy right now is selling things abroad. It's an economy that's really struggling, stalled, going down in some cases. Trade is growing sometimes at double-digit pace, four times faster than the economy as a whole. Canada, for example, is the leading export site for 36 of our states. He's going to maintain those international commitments, allow us to prosper, provide educations and workforce and training so that our workers show up ready to compete internationally. And obviously, he's committed to keeping taxes low. Right now, the top tax rate's 35%. Under John McCain, it'll be 35%. Dividends and capital gains, the way our small businesses get access to capital to grow and expand, 15% now, 15% under John McCain. He doesn't see any need to raise taxes in a weak economy, and he'd like to keep the jobs here. So he's proposing to reduce the corporate income rate so that the good jobs that have health insurance and retirement benefits don't go to places like Ireland. They stay in the United States.
And very quickly, a lot of that costs money too.
Senator McCain is committed to balancing the budget by 2013.
How?
His proposals would really rein in the growth of spending. We've seen an explosion of spending in Washington hand over fist since 2000. If this country had simply stayed with the kind of fiscal discipline that, quite frankly, was exhibited during the Clinton administration years, we would be spending $180 billion less every year in the United States. Senator McCain wants to return to that. He wants to eliminate earmarks and wasteful spending, do across-the-board examinations of our programs, and the reality is the budget can be balanced, but it will stay balanced only as quickly and as effectively as bipartisan entitlement reform takes place in the United States.
All right. One of the things that came out in the email was, of course, they lost their house. A lot of people are losing their house. Legislation currently going through Congress suggests it might help maybe 400,000 people who are in a similar situation. It's estimated there may be as many as 3 million people in that situation. Earlier this year, John McCain and Barack Obama outlined plans to help homeowners in trouble.
As president, I will be committed to putting the American dream on a firmer footing.
It's not the duty of government to bail out and reward those who act irresponsibly, whether they're big banks or small borrowers.
Very different suggestions on the mortgage crisis. Let's get a caller on the line. This is Bob. Bob with us from Las Vegas on the Republican line.
Yes, that's right. I just have a question regarding both Senator McCain and Senator Obama have stated kind of their opinions on the mortgage crisis, but neither, it seems, have yet to come out and really propose an exact plan on how they're going to take care of the mortgage crisis. I'm just wondering what that plan would be.
Why don't we start with Douglas Holtz Aiken?
Well, the senator proposed what he called a home plan, the opportunity for a mortgage exchange, which allowed those individuals who were in their home, they weren't speculators, they were trying to raise their family there. They had the financial ability to live in a home, but they're in the wrong mortgage. And he proposed that those individuals could apply and make it as simple as possible. Go down to the post office, get an application form, get in exchange for the mortgage that's underwater or unable to be serviced on, a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage with an FHA guarantee on terms that would allow the person to stay in that home. The most important thing is to keep Americans in the home. As the clip indicated, he's not interested in taking money out of Main Street's pocket to reward people who did not do due diligence, either banks or other financial entities, or people who borrowed just for investment purposes. He wants to take care of American homeowners. Now, the reality is that his plan is not going to become law. There is a plan coming through Congress, and the senator believes getting something done quickly is more important than anything else, and he would urge the Congress to pass that, and he would support it.
Let's go now to Dan Torello, who's with the Obama campaign.
Well, the legislation that Doug just referred to is legislation which Senator Obama was an original co-sponsor of in the Senate, and so obviously we support that, and that's been Senator Obama's position for some time. He thinks that has been the priority to make sure that we don't end up with a situation in which people are being pushed out of their homes only to move into a home that someone else has been pushed out of. But we need to think in bigger terms than that. As you indicated, Neil, although we don't know exactly how many people will be helped by this legislation, no one believes it's going to solve all the problems of the pressure in the housing market. Senator Obama, again, since last fall, has proposed a $10 billion mortgage foreclosure prevention fund to supplement the FHA bill, which is moving through the Congress right now. That would help communities, for example, to purchase foreclosed properties so that the entire neighborhood doesn't end up in a downward price spiral. And I think most importantly, at the present time, we need to think about the relationship between the economy and housing prices. You know, when the housing crisis started, it was being driven in part by the financial markets, maybe in substantial part. Today, the economy itself is having a further negative effect on the housing market. That's why Senator Obama has been proposing a $50 billion stimulus package to get the economy moving again.
All right, Bob, thanks very much for the phone call. We're talking about the economy in Election 08. We're taking your calls. What do you want the next president to do about the economy? Which candidate is more likely to do it? We have split phone lines today. Republicans, 800-344-3893. Democrats, 800-344-3864. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. This is the first in our series, Issues Monday. We've asked representatives from the McCain and Obama campaigns to drop by and answer your questions about the most important issues driving the election. Today, it's all about the economy. You can see how each candidate's economic plans differ in a comparison at our website, npr.org/talk. Right now, though, we want to hear what's on your mind. What's the most important economic issue you want to see addressed? We have split phone lines today. Republicans, 800-344-3893. Democrats, 800-344-3864. The email address for everybody, talk@npr.org. And you can also tell us your story on our blog at npr.org/blog of the nation. And I'd like to ask you both, what's the best idea that you've heard from the other side? Dan Torello, have you heard anything that interests you from the McCain side?
Well, I think it's been interesting, Neil, to listen to the evolution of some of Senator McCain's positions. As we just indicated, or Doug just indicated a few moments ago, Senator McCain is now supportive of the legislation that Senator Obama was supporting from the beginning.
On housing. Yeah.
On housing. I think that what we've seen with Senator McCain is a bit of an evolution of his positions over time here during the post-primary season, and we await with interest the next such evolution.
And Douglas Holtzman Aiken, did you see anything in Senator Obama's economic plans that you said, well, you know, if we're elected, we might just try that?
Well, I think one of the really interesting pieces of bipartisan consensus now is a recognition that it is imperative that America control the growth of health care costs, that this is a symptom of a larger problem in American medicine where we have too many people paying too much money for care that doesn't match the price tag. Senator Obama's health care plan acknowledges this problem. It doesn't place it at the forefront, but this is a place where we will require great leadership in addressing an issue. I mean, the reality is that Americans are not just tired of 8 years of this president. They're really quite disturbed by a Congress that seems unable to come to terms with great issues, and they're looking for leadership that can rise above narrow political ambition or party allegiance, that can reach across the aisle, address the pressing issues that are present in energy and health, in education and the climate change. And that's what, you know, Senator McCain can bring to this, is a recognition that the other side has ideas and that we need to get things done.
Douglas Holtz-Aiken, I apologize for messing up your name. I must be thinking about Red Holtzman, the old basketball coach. Anyway,
if you get that close, you're good.
Okay. Let's see if we can get Jennifer on the line. And Jennifer's on the Democratic line from Waxhaw in North Carolina.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
I'm a lifelong Democrat and have never voted Republican, but I'm actually considering voting for John McCain. And one of the specific things that I think a lot of people are concerned about is all the money that has been spent in Iraq and on other things. And he mentioned in his comments last week on the news about a balanced budget amendment. And I have two questions. My first is...
Just one question, if you would. We want to give other people a chance.
Is the Democratic campaign going to do something about a balanced budget amendment, and how is Congress going to be convinced?
Doug,
I'll take my comments off the air.
Thank you for the call, Jennifer. And Doug Tarullo?
Well, here's where I think we need to look at where there are plans and where there are hopes. Senator McCain has indicated that he will seek a balanced budget, but he hasn't told us how. He hasn't told us where these big cuts in spending will come from. Are they going to come from the Department of Homeland Security? Are they going to come from our food safety inspectors? Are they going to come from Head Start and our education? Senator Obama has put forth the investments he thinks need to be made in America. He's put forth how he will raise the revenue to take account of and pay for those investments. And he's done it in a fiscally responsible way, which, according to the Tax Policy Center, will reduce the deficit from the trajectory that we're currently on, whereas Senator McCain's proposals will actually increase the deficit. So although Senator McCain has indicated he wants to balance the budget, he hasn't told us how, and he's got a big tax cut that isn't being paid for.
But just in response to the question, I didn't hear a call for a balanced budget amendment in there.
Senator Obama wants to get us on a more fiscally sustainable path. He doesn't think it's realistic to say that by 2010 or 2011 we are going to have a balanced budget. We have to take account of the economic circumstances we face. He will make sure we move in that direction.
All right, and let's hear from you on that, Douglas Holtz-Aiken.
Well, certainly Senator McCain believes in balancing the budget. He has a plan to balance it by 2013 that is absolutely realistic. It recognizes that the first step to bring the deficit under control is to keep economic growth strong. So he has a jobs-first tax plan that keeps small businesses hiring people, keeps large corporations with jobs in America. That's an imperative. It does not raise taxes at a time of economic weakness. He is committed to controlling growth. He is the one who authored the strategy which is bringing success in Iraq. He believes that it will be possible to bring at least half the troops home by 2013, 75,000 or fewer boots on the ground, and hopefully more than that. So, you know, some prospects for peace and the financial gains from that, $150 billion a year. Reforms to our entitlement programs. He alone for years has called for lower agricultural subsidies so that big agribusinesses are not walking around with the taxpayers' dollars. He's committed to eliminating ethanol subsidies. When gas is $4 a gallon, ethanol can make a sturdy profit without a government subsidy. He'll go through and look across the board in the fashion of the late 1990s and make sure that every year there's an absolute commitment to spending only those dollars that are necessary for national priorities. That can bring us about $150 billion less in discretionary spending, savings on the entitlement side. The result will be a balanced budget, and he's voted for a balanced budget amendment. He understands that the American taxpayer is already shelling out an enormous amount of money and that an ideological drive for higher taxes is just going to leave workers and small businesses caught in the crossfire, and there's no substitute for the jobs that those businesses create and that those workers need.
Let's get another caller in. Chris with us from Columbus in Ohio.
Yes, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
This is on the Republican line. Go ahead, please.
Yes. As a lifetime conservative, I guess I see the trend in government, especially with Republicans. Instead of, perhaps from an economic perspective, instead of wanting to come out and solve problems, I guess my take would be I would love to hear the McCain side have the courage to step up and say, you know, it's not necessarily our job to solve the economic problems of this country, but to create the environment for which the American people and the small businessmen and corporations can flourish. What in particular would the McCain side say that they could do or will not do that will allow the small business owners and corporations to solve our ills instead of constantly looking towards the national government to solve a problem? And I'll take my comments offline.
All right, Chris, thanks very much. So Doug Holtz Aiken, does Senator McCain agree with Ronald Reagan that government's not part of the solution, government's the problem?
Senator McCain believes that there's a role for government, but that that role is contained and that it ought to be done effectively. I mean, the real indictment of government at the moment is the fact that American taxpayers lost complete trust that their dollars are being used in the national interest, and he's proposed reforms to the earmarking process, which makes sure special interests get taken care of before the national interest. But, you know, the caller's question is, you know, what can we do for the small businesses that are the lifeblood of this economy? Well, we don't want to raise their tax rates, as quite frankly, Senator Obama will. You don't want to restrict their access to capital through dividends, capital gains tax rates, or onerous regulation. You really want to make sure that they have the access to world markets. Senator McCain is committed to enhancing our ability to sell our products around the globe. 95% of the world's customers are outside these borders. We want every American worker to be able to go to a firm that can sell goods, even to Colombia. For example, at this moment, Senator Obama is stopping a Colombia Free Trade Agreement. A couple of years ago, Senator Obama voted for the Andean Trade Preferences Agreement that let any goods come into the U.S. from Colombia duty-free. So our market's open, but we're not going to be able to sell in Colombia. Senator doesn't believe that's right. We're going to go be able to sell everywhere. Let's create the environment where the workers are educated, the healthcare costs aren't too high, the energy's not too expensive, you can sell anywhere, and let small businesses take care of this problem.
Okay, and let's turn to you, Dr. Turrillo.
Well, you know, I think
Dan Turrillo, excuse me.
A principal position of economic conservatives over the years has been one of fiscal responsibility. And I think, again, what you hear from Senator McCain is a hope for fiscal responsibility, but no details of how he would get there. $150 billion cut in discretionary spending. I mean, that's more than one out of every four non-military discretionary spending dollars. Where is this going to come from? Is it even realistic to think about that, as opposed to Senator Obama's approach, which is to say, here is what I know we're going to confront. We need to be investing more in education to give our people the opportunities that they want, but it's only fiscally responsible if we identify the sources of revenue and then let the economy grow. With respect to small businesses, Senator Obama has proposed that there be no capital gains for startup businesses, the businesses that are creating the new jobs of the future. The idea that the way to create economic growth is to squeeze the middle class more is just a wrong-headed approach. And finally, let me say on trade, and specifically on Colombia, Senator Obama believes very much that there should be a trading system in which the middle class is growing, not just in the United States, but also growing abroad, because the middle class abroad can be a market for our goods. But it doesn't make any sense to pass a trade agreement, which is supposed to include basic protections for workers, in an environment in which workers or labor union organizers are being killed because they are engaged in that kind of activity. That's not the kind of trade agreement he wants to support.
Let's get another caller in. Doug on the Democratic line from Chicago.
The U.S. spends more on the military than the rest of the world combined, and we have no threatening neighbors. A dollar spent on education is better than bombs. Will you cut military spending?
And I ask you both to begin yes or no, and then expand that way. And why don't we turn first to you, Daniel Turrillo?
Well, certainly as Senator Obama's plan for removing troops from Iraq goes into is realized, military spending will be cut.
And you, Douglas Holtz Aiken.
Senator McCain will leave Iraq on the right terms with peace, and he will use the opportunity of the presidency to take on the remainder of the Pentagon budget, which is characterized by a procurement system where we buy things we really do not need and they're not in our strategic interest, where we buy them in a way that we spend too much money on them And he will take on that kind of a spending problem that has been in Washington for a long, long time.
And let me ask you both, there have been proposals to expand the armed forces by two divisions in the Army and more for the Marine Corps as well. Again, would Senator McCain support that? It's an expensive proposition.
Senator McCain would, in fact, expand the Army and the Marines, those troops that have been on the ground. We've seen the duress that these troops have been under. There are too few. They've had to go back to Iraq, Afghanistan too many times. We do need a larger force on the ground. But the ratio of essentially backup to footprint on the ground is much too large in the Defense Department. There are places where the senator believes we can aggressively look at that overall budget and expand the boots on the ground in a fiscally sensible way.
Dan Tarullo?
Neil, it is important, notwithstanding what I said earlier, which is absolutely Senator Obama's position, that he will draw down the troops in Iraq. It is very important that we not lose sight of his overall position, which is the United States does face real threats. And we do need a strong military. And we need a strong military that is going to be deployed against those threats and against those threats effectively. So whether it is in terms of readjusting to its special forces or the kinds of activities that will be effective in dealing with terrorism or some other approach, even though military spending will be reduced, it is not a question of simply pulling back behind our borders. He doesn't think at all that's what we should be doing.
Okay. Doug, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was, you just heard, Daniel Tarullo, who's an economic advisor, senior economic advisor for Barack Obama. Also with us is Douglas Holtz Aiken, a senior policy advisor for Senator John McCain. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get both of you to say what your candidate's first economic act would be upon taking office next January 20th. Why don't we start with you, Daniel Tarullo?
Well, that is going to depend, Neil, obviously, on the state of the economy. If, as many economists fear, we're going to continue to be on a downward slide or very bad performance in the housing market and employment market and elsewhere, we obviously would need to think about the stimulus package which Senator Obama has put forth. So that would have to be, you have to respond to the circumstances you face. I think in terms of going forward, some of the big important transforming proposals that he's put forth, such as his health care plan, would be very high on his agenda.
And let's turn to you, Douglas Holtz Aiken. First thing a President McCain would act on regarding the economy.
Senator McCain believes we have to reverse, you know, three decades of bipartisan failure on our energy policies. In the 70s, we had 30% of our oil imported. Now it's 60%. Our national security is at stake because we're financing people like Hugo Chavez and Vladimir Putin who do not share our values. And in some cases, the monies go directly to terrorists who are trying to harm us. It threatens our economy, and it threatens our environment. So he will institute the steps to free us of our strategic dependence on oil. The Project Lexington Freedom is a route to economic success. It's a route to national security success. And it's a route to a cleaner environment. It's something that America needs. It's long overdue. It will require leadership. It will require working across party lines. And the senator believes it is something that's imperative to get moving on right away.
And one final question. We just have a couple of minutes left, so keep it brief if you would. And that is, we're about to hear about the plight of the city of New Orleans 3 years after Hurricane Katrina. I believe Senator McCain made a big speech down in New Orleans, right outside of New Orleans, sort of relaunching his campaign. So Douglas Holtz Aiken, what would President McCain do for the city of New Orleans?
President McCain would first and foremost meet the commitments that we've made to the city of New Orleans, the state of Louisiana. He would also fundamentally make a commitment to having jobs in America and a package of proposals that will produce growth. There is no substitute for a job. That's true in New Orleans. It's true in Louisiana. It's true around this country. And he will never let the disgrace that was the post-Katrina recovery ever happen again. That is a failure of government. It is the reason why Americans have lost trust in the use of their dollars. He will have an overhaul of FEMA. It will involve using both
I don't mean to cut
sure.
you off, but I wanted to give
my
Dan Tarullo. No, that's all right. Dan Tarullo?
Well, Senator Obama has of course, supported a policy specifically directed to help with the recovery of New Orleans and will continue to do so. But there is a larger issue here, and that issue is, where are our government policies directed? Are they directed towards the well-being of the vast majority of Americans in New Orleans and elsewhere who need jobs, need health care, need a sense that the government is helping provide opportunities for them. I think if you just look at the tax plans of the two candidates, you'll see one with Senator Obama in which the benefits are weighted towards the middle class, and the other in Senator McCain in which the benefits are weighted towards the most affluent. That's, I think, the difference in their economic approaches.
And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. But thanks to you both. You just heard Dan Tarullo, Senior Economic Advisor for Senator Barack Obama. Earlier, Doug Holtz-Aiken, Senior Policy Advisor for Senator John McCain. We'll hope to pick up another issue next Monday and hear from both campaigns again. Coming up, our weekly opinion page, and this is one you can put in your CD player. New Orleans Dr. John has a new release on the city that care forgot. Stay with us. This is NPR News.